I wasn't really expecting that, but that's kind of fun. I'll take that, Slee. Why not, right?
It's a standing ovation on my end. I don't know if you see on the
Zoom. Yeah, no, you're up. You're going to want to check your phone here in about 30 seconds. I just sent you something. I may or may not have been out there a couple of weeks ago and may or may not have a picture of exactly what Chris was talking about. So, yeah, that was a long time ago, but I will definitely take it. Thank you to John Chin for scoping me out on the wall of all CIF Apaches. That's Slee, I don't know if you know this yet. I think you probably do. Okay. I'm a pretty big deal around here.
There was, I don't know how much I respected you before, but now that I know that your name is on the wall there, one of those CIF elites.
Yep.
It's a whole different type of respect now. So, Travis, listen, I should probably go by Mr. Rogers moving forward here.
Hey, Travis, do you still have like your Letterman's jacket with your CIF patch and everything?
He's wearing it right now.
I see it, man. Jeez.
No undershirt, just Letterman jacket.
I never got a Letterman's jacket. I have my reasons. I can't say them on the air because I like my job, but I never got one. But I'll tell you guys the story of why I don't have one at some other point. But no, I never got one. I have all the patches. They're somewhere.
Why don't you have it? Just tell us right now.
No, you don't want to know the reason.
It's Monday. We have all the way till Friday. Let's get
it's probably something. It was a bad idea in 1989, and it is a far worse idea now. So we'll just leave it at that, and we'll keep it moving. How was your weekend, Slee? Good weekend for you?
Weekend was saw a lot of driving, Trav. A lot of driving.
Yeah, you were in San Diego. That's right.
Jeez, driving back up yesterday. Yeah, I've driven down there so many times over the last 11 years that I've lived in L.A. that you would think I know when's a good time to leave, when's a good time to stay, you know, that kind of whole thing. I left in the afternoon. Every person in Southern California yesterday was driving up from San Diego to L.A. Everybody. I hadn't even got to Carlsbad yet, and I was just completely stopped. I'm like, wait a minute here. I can't be stopped in Carlsbad. Can we wait till San Clemente or San Juan Capistrano?
Well, once you hit Carlsbad, and everybody that's ever gone to San Diego knows this, until you get basically to Mission Viejo, it's just because and then you're pinned in. In Camp Pendleton, there's nowhere to go. You can't get off the road. It's not great. But other than the fact that you were stuck in a tin can on the freeway,
Of driving, but all good. Weekend was nice. This weather is ridiculous. I'm in a little predicament here. Air conditioner went out. Air is out. So we got
the hottest weekend of the year too.
We have fudges. Just get ready. It's gonna be like 95 degrees. Yesterday I was just sitting there, fan on. It was a different world, different experience. Let's just say that.
All right. So I just want to make sure too that you got the picture that I sent you of my appetizers from last night. You got that? Because I had a friend over, an old friend of mine that I haven't seen in a long time. He came over. We did a little barbecue in the backyard, and he's a bigger guy.
I saw hot dogs, but I didn't know whose number it was.
Yeah, it was just we put a few out there because we weren't ready for the burgers yet, so we just threw a few hot dogs on the grill, just warm them up and have a couple before you get ready for the rest of the food. It was nice.
I don't have your number saved, so that's why I wasn't sure if it was you. I thought maybe it was somebody else.
New phone. Right?
Who dis?
That's one great. Of my all-time favorites. All right, so things kind of changed over the weekend, right? Here we are going into the weekend, and the Clippers were down 2-0, and we're thinking, all right, here we go again, same old, same old. They looked really good, Slee. They looked really good. Paul George looked really good. He made a bunch of shots. He was absolutely fantastic in Game 3. And now here we are all over again, the precipice of their season, and not just their season, but maybe the direction of the organization. If the Clippers win tonight, they're 2-2, and I'll just speak for myself here, it feels like they'd have all the momentum in the world. Because if it's 2-2, they can very easily convince themselves, you know what, we should be up 3-1. We're a much better team than these guys. We're going to win one of these games in Utah. We got this thing in our back pocket. That's option one. Number two is lose tonight. You're down 3-1 going back to Utah. That's probably a wrap at that point. And now what the hell do you do?
Well, they're healthy. And that's the difference between them and the Utah Jazz. This is the one thing I can't stand about these playoffs right now. And this has been the case from first round. And it's probably going to be the case all the way through the season. Trav, there's a lot of key players missing. A lot of key players are missing in this postseason run, which I'm not trying to take away. I had a lot of people hitting me on Twitter over the weekend say, hey, Slee, why is it so quiet over there? Why are you so quiet after that Clippers win? And by the way, they're right. I was incredibly quiet. For as annoying as, you know, somebody can be when a team loses, and then virtually as if I don't have Twitter or like I forgot my login or something when the Clippers win, like an idiot, okay? That's kind of how – that's been my rotation here. But it's been – yeah, just think about this. Think about all the players that have been out in the postseason. Yesterday, we didn't get a chance. James Harden is still out, right? Kyrie left in the middle of the game. Okay, it happens. By the way, I'm not. You take advantage of the situation in front of you. For the Lakers, obviously, it was Anthony Davis, at times KCP. Go down the list.
Chris
what
Paul.
Are some other players?
Chris Paul.
Absolutely. That's actually a great point because we brush off of that. Look what CP3 was doing to the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray. Will Barton, kind of like go down the list of each one of these players, and the reason why
Taj
I stopped
Gibson.
He was healthy, actually. I think I saw him in every game. I think I saw him every game against Hawks. But this is when you say what's kind of in front of the Clippers, what's in front of the Clippers, take advantage of your opportunity. Mike Conley still hasn't played a game. You know, we're three games into the series. Donovan Mitchell left with I don't know how many games or how many minutes left in game three. Yes, granted it was a blowout, but he's got that his ankle injury that he's had. So if you're the Clips, take freaking advantage of what the Utah Jazz don't have. And two of their key players, one of them's hobbled and the other one hasn't played yet. So Clippers, in a good position, that even though they're down 2-1.
But so crazy. Look, I get it. If this were, you know, they won one, Utah won one, they won it. If it was just kind of neck and neck, it would feel different than what it does right now, which is the season turns tonight. I really, truly believe if they win tonight, they're probably going to win the series. If they lose tonight, there's virtually no chance that they win this series. And now you get the question of if they don't lose, what do you do? Because there's just so many different directions you can go, but now you're starting to hear things. Stephen A., let's play this cut right here. Stephen A. was talking about this on his show, that if the Clippers do lose, he's suggesting that they let Kawhi walk. Take a listen to this.
If you're Steve Ballmer, the owner for the billionaire owner, multi-billionaire owner for the Los Angeles Clippers, building a new arena in Inglewood and all of this other stuff, if Donovan Mitchell takes your Clippers out, guess what, Max? Let Kawhi go. Let him walk. Let him exercise his option and go elsewhere. Because now you're talking about your best chances with LeBron James home. You're talking about this is arguably the Clippers' best chance to win the chip. If last year wasn't, certainly this year was.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it done now, now you're talking about retooling, rebuilding, trying to establish a culture. As big time as Kawhi Leonard is, you can't establish a culture with a dude that you've got to exercise load management with so excessively. So I'm just saying.
Can they win?
I'm just saying. The magnitude of what Donovan Mitchell is doing to these Clippers cannot go unnoticed.
Okay. That just seems to me like the worst possible option, right? That you're not going to find a better player than Kawhi Leonard. You're not going to find somebody that has more experience than Kawhi Leonard, but you're hearing this. You're hearing that out there, that what do you do? And it just, I mean, are we gotten to the point now, Slee, where we're talking about whether or not Kawhi can be the guy that's the centerpiece of a championship team? Is that the conversation that we're having?
First of all, Stephen A. threw me off there. What do you mean? Let him walk? That makes zero sense at all. Hey, just start rebuilding. No, you don't do that. You throw as much money as you can at him. And by the way, if in a couple years it doesn't work out, maybe you trade him and you get something back for him. So the whole go ahead and let him walk makes no sense. I think the Kawhi piece is interesting because I'm trying to think of a player like this. Kawhi is such an amazing basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a piece that misses with Kawhi that you got to understand, okay, well, Kawhi's not going to bring this part of it. So can we replace Kawhi? Not replace. Can we add elements on the roster for what he, let's say, his shortchanges on the leadership side, right?
Yeah.
Kawhi's such an amazing player, but he's such a non-vocal leader. He's not going to rally up the troops. He's not going to stare guys into the eyes and say, I'm a two-time finals MVP. Follow
me. Get on my level. Yeah.
He's just not going to – that's not what he's going to do. So as great as he is and as much as he brings to the table, that's such a critical piece. You know, think about that. Would you say Donovan Mitchell – I've seen this dude and – what is Donovan Mitchell? How old is he? 24, 25,
25 or 6,
something
yeah.
like that. I've seen Donovan Mitchell – during timeouts telling veterans, hey, this is what we have to do. I mean, he brings an element that, you know, obviously we're just never going to see with Kawhi. But that doesn't mean, hey, you know what, you should give up on Kawhi or anything along those lines, because Kawhi will help you win a championship. He just doesn't bring that element to it. So I'm a little confused by Stephen A's kind of philosophy there.
So I think the point of this is, if Kawhi Leonard is your guy,
yeah,
are you in a good spot? And to hear Stephen A. say it, he doesn't feel like it. I mean, if he's going to, like, you know, he mentioned that, you know, if you can't, you can't build a culture with load management. Okay, fine. I'll go a step further. You can't build a culture with where your best player doesn't really say much, isn't very demonstrative, isn't a leadership in the traditional way. He can be on your team. He can be the best player on your team, but you're going to need someone else who's willing to do all of those other things, and that's not Paul George. So,
right, you know, in San Antonio, you could hide some of it. You let Kawhi play to his strengths, and that's all you needed him to do.
Yep.
In Toronto, it was a combination of, you had leaders like Kyle Lowry, some of these other players, and, oh, by the way, the Golden State Warriors were depleted and got injured, but that's part of the game. He was able to just be himself. With the Clippers, it's almost asked, like, he needs to do more than just be himself.
So I wanted to go back to what you said about Mitchell, too, because I think this is interesting, that there's no scenario where the Utah Jazz, let's say the Jazz lose tonight, right? Let's say the Jazz lose the series. Let's say that the Jazz are out in the second round of the playoffs again, and they're not any closer to a championship than they were, you know, last year or the year before that. Nobody in the Jazz is looking around saying, we got to do something about Donovan Mitchell, because when you look at it, you say, okay, he's one of those guys. Kawhi isn't one of those guys, because, and look, here's the rub. There aren't many of them, right? And I started making a list of guys that you say, yep, absolutely, give him as my best guy, and I'll figure it out from there. It's LeBron, it's Luka, it's KD, it's Steph, it's these
Harden,
sorts of guys.
I think you could put on
Harden
that list.
Harden is probably a pretty good answer, too. And then there's that crew of newer guys. You know, is Donovan Mitchell one of those guys? It's starting to feel like it. It's starting to feel, because when you have to have it from him, he's got it. It's starting to feel like maybe Trae Young could become one of those guys. He's got a lot of way to go.
Is Giannis one of those guys? That's a real question mark.
Giannis clearly is not one of those guys. We have enough data points to know. Giannis is another perfect example of Kawhi. Different personalities. Giannis is more gregarious than Kawhi. He's more vocal than Kawhi. But Giannis is also one of those guys that we've seen bow out way too early, way too often, to have it be like, yeah, okay, that's going to happen. I mean, think about
what hurts Giannis is more his look. This is why to win an NBA championship, you got to have a lot of pieces that fit, right? So Giannis, I heard this conversation, maybe it was from Kendrick Perkins, I forget who it was, last week. If Giannis has the ball with 5 seconds left and the game's on the line, that's not a good idea, right? But what Giannis needs is somebody else to put the ball in the hoop, okay? What Kawhi needs is somebody else to be the leader, right?
Right.
So now, I'm not saying everybody has the full package. There's only one LeBron. There's only one Luka. Steph Curry has that, you know, combination of being a leader and an unbelievable player. There are not a lot of players that can do that night in, night out basis. But to build a championship, you need a little bit of everything, right? It doesn't have to be just on one person's back. So the thought process of, can Kawhi be that guy? I think, yes, Kawhi definitely can be that guy, but he needs other players around him that fulfill what he lacks, I guess you can say.
All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all the guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And I think we've kind of buried the lead here a little bit, Slee. We're just about a half an hour away from Ask Slee. I think Monday might be my favorite day for Ask Slee, because it's the only day where we get to do back-to-back shows with Ask Slee. An Ask Slee on Friday, fast forward to an Ask Slee on Monday.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
When callers call in moving forward, do you want them to say anything? How do you want them to reference the CIF, the name on the wall? How do you want that to – because I want to be clear with listeners out there that it's not just Travis Rogers they're talking to. There's a little bit more than that.
First of all, it's not CIF. It's all CIF, right? It's a very short list. So it's not just that I was one of the very select few in the year 1989 who was selected for the all CIF team. So please make sure that you get that right.
Yeah, you've changed.
Little
you've
respect.
Changed. I'm just saying, like, you have
little
– the ego.
Little
the
respect
ego.
On my name, if
a
you
A little
don't
bit
mind.
Earlier when we did that little update, the fact that Keyshawn even mentioned my name,
mm-hmm.
you sounded
like
bitter. You sounded like there was something.
All right, here's what is missing from the NBA playoffs. We'll tell you what it is that is coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. So how many of those hot dogs that you saw on my grill last night do you think that I personally took down? There were three. They were good. By the way, Hebrew Nationals, they're the long ones.
Solid.
They're the good ones. They're the really good hot dogs. And there were three on there.
Yep.
How many do you think I hit?
You took two down.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nope.
All three?
Just one. Not an animal. Look, I mean, I had a guest, and he had one, and my lovely daughter wanted one as well. She's very team hot dog appetizer, so she took one down as well, and then we had our burgers, you know, half hour, 45 minutes later.
So you had a hot dog and a burger?
Yeah.
That's great. That's a dinner right there.
Thank you, Funch. See, Funch
gets
it.
Little
chips, man, maybe? Fruit fries?
Fruit. We had fruit. We had watermelon and pineapple and strawberries.
And
that's even
more
healthy. A little coleslaw on the side. It was a pretty good night.
I'm kind of thrown off a little bit here, Funches. Got to be honest with you.
I thought he took down all three with the picture he sent us and then ate a burger.
The way you talk, Trav, you talk a big game. Let me just say that. I mean, every time it almost sounds like, you know, your pregame meal 7:30 a.m. is like a bowl of chili or something.
That's not a bad idea, by the way. I could get into something like that.
No, it's a very reasonable afternoon there.
And then a piece of lemon cake about the size of a car battery, just to settle down the stomach. It was pretty good. They had a pretty good night.
The size of a car battery.
It's just, you know.
I thought you were savory. I didn't think you were sweet.
I am savory, but occasionally I'll throw a little sweet in there along the way. Here's what's missing from the NBA playoffs, Slee. You ready? And you tell me where you come out on this, because I have found my level of engagement for these playoffs to be far less than typical. And here's why. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, now the Joker can be added to the list. All these guys that are the best players in the league are home. They're done. And the guys that are left, there's still some stars left. There's KD, there's Giannis, there's Chris Paul. There's some stars left, but Devin Booker. They just don't move me the way that some of these other guys do, and I just can't get fired up for what's left. I'm missing my guys, the Lakers in particular, but I love watching Steph. I'll watch Steph all night long, and I watch these games, and I'm just, let's get to the end of this, fellas.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because there's actually some really good players left, okay? So just think about
this.
Kawhi's still in it. Donovan Mitchell. Devin Booker's been amazing in the playoffs. Joel Embiid, we haven't even talked about yet, right? Giannis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, we haven't seen him yet in the playoffs. Trae Young. There's actually a lot of really, really good stars left. I think here's the question, Trav, is I don't know if we're ready for some of these players yet, right? Like, I don't know if Joel Embiid is pulling people out here in L.A. and saying, I got to watch that Philly game, right?
No.
I don't think,
against Atlanta.
By the way, the Luka part, Luka was pulling people, and he was playing the Clippers, and there was, that was kind of an interesting conversation that was being had. CP3, I don't think, is pulling anybody. So there's stars that are there, and I'm as big of an NBA fan as they come. I'm watching the games. But I'm not sitting there saying to myself, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable basketball. I can't take my eyes off this series. That has not been the case so far.
I think once we get a little deeper into it, it'll be more exciting because there's more on the line. But right now, these are still second-round playoff series without a team that I have an emotional investment to, without a bunch of players that I have an emotional investment to. And let's do this. It's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and here's the Straight Talk. You have to think that the guys in the NBA offices in New York City are terrified about what's coming down the tracks at them, because you don't have to squint super hard to come up with a scenario that the NBA Finals are Utah against Milwaukee, right? that if it could not only could happen because they're both still alive on other sides of the draw, they both look pretty good right now. Utah looks good. Milwaukee looks like Kyrie got hurt. James Harden hasn't played. All these things are starting to – Phoenix against Milwaukee. That's got to be keeping Adam Silver up at night.
Okay,
what's
the best matchup? Is the best matchup Clippers and Brooklyn?
Of course. It's the only one that's attractive. There's a better question. Name another one that would make you go, yeah, I'm here for that. There isn't one. Even if it's a great player like Giannis going up against a great player like, say, Chris Paul, they're okay, fine.
Yeah, I might be the.
Are
only
you? Are you
one
inviting friends and family over to watch?
I might be the only one that watches in L.A.
Chris Paul, hey guys, why don't y'all come over to my house? Say around 5 o'clock, we'll put some hot dogs on the grill. We'll start doing their thing, and
Cameron
we're gonna
Payne's
watch.
Checking in, Cameron Payne's checking in, guys.
We're gonna watch Chris Paul and Giannis go at it. Come on, man. Now I'm
your
good.
Your voice cracked right there.
I got laundry I've got to do. My garage is messy. I've got some stuff I've got to take care of.
Okay, why
wants
is this
to see that garbage?
Explain this one to me. The NBA is obviously star driven and it's market driven. The NFL is completely. It's almost irrelevant for the NFL. I'm not saying the NFL is not star driven. It is. I mean, you're watching a Chiefs game because of Patrick Mahomes. But there are a lot of matchups you can get in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship, NFC Championship, where it kind of doesn't matter. Titans in it? Sure, I'll watch it. You know, that's kind of – it's intriguing how one sport depends so much on the specific players and the market, where the other one, it's like, no, it doesn't matter. They actually depend less on the players, I think, completely depend less on the players than the NBA does.
Well, and then you got the NBA, too, that's throwing out the MVP of the league in the third quarter of a closeout game. Right? You know, we all saw Jokic get kicked out of that game yesterday. Let's start right here. Should he have been? Because I'm hearing all this stuff, you know, you can't throw him out in that situation. And that way, you know, the NBA has gone soft and all of this. It's like, hold on a second. Had that overhand chop that he went with been another 3 inches to the right, he breaks Payne's neck. Okay? He's a huge guy. He's strong, and he was frustrated. He was mad as hell, and he went over there, and I know he wasn't trying to hit him in the head, but he did hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And if you swing like that and hit somebody in the head, you're gone, man. Yeah. You don't get to stick around for that.
We hear this a lot, you know, where people will say, and I'm, you know, just imagine when I do the pregame show or I'm listening to Michael or John on the broadcast, Michael's coming from an era where, you know, play like that is literally a common foul. It's not even a foul. It's let's keep going. Quit complaining, right? So I think it's an interesting kind of balance in the NBA because you're right. Jokic yesterday he's the league's MVP. He just won the Most Valuable Player award. Since he won the award, they haven't won a game, by the way. Now they're out of the playoffs.
So whoops.
But since, you know, you got one of the best in the NBA on a frustrated play, takes a swipe at Cameron Payne, hits the dude partially in the face, and then is thrown out of the game. I don't know what, to be honest with you, I don't know what fans want. I don't know if fans want, I think there's a middle ground, right? I'm not trying to see two players locking eyes and saying, let's freaking throw some blows. I don't need to see that. This ain't the UFC. But I also don't need to see 7 minute, you know, replay reviews to just determine it was a flagrant one, right, side out of bounds, and then, you know what I mean? So, it's the NBA is going to – I think they've gone too far in trying to clear it up. By the way, I'd rather them go too far in cleaning it up than having it the other way and it's just ugly, dirty basketball. But that middle ground that I think most NBA fans would like to see, they haven't seen so far. You just threw Jokic out of a game.
The part – yeah, well, and you had no choice. You can't legislate intent, right? You can't say, well, oh, he was frustrated. He really wasn't trying to hit him in the face.
No, he hit him in the face.
He hit him in the face.
He swung. I don't know what that swing was. It was like I don't know what it was.
I know what it was. It was a blow that had it landed on the top of his head instead of grazing his nose would have knocked that guy straight into the. It would have driven him into the court like a railroad spike. Mm-hmm. You know, he would have been down for a while. That's the equivalent of a punch. Mm-hmm. It just happened to graze him instead of catch him clean. I understand he wasn't trying to punch him in the head. I completely agree with that. My response to it, though, is who gives a damn? That what he was trying to do isn't nearly as important as what – had he – let's say he didn't catch him at all on the face and just comes down and nails him on the forearm. He might have broken his damn arm. Hmm. I mean, it's – this was not – not that every all the
okay, which NBA do you want? Which NBA, if you know, you're somebody that's obviously watching every Laker game, what what's the balance in the NBA that you think it should be, that's good for the sport, that keeps people entertained but also keeps the product safe?
I'm 100% okay with what we used to see with the Lakers and the Celtics, right? When Kurt Rambis goes up and he gets clotheslined, when Worthy gets clotheslined by Kevin McHale, and they get up and they want to kill each other. And after they're done separating, okay, two shots and the ball. You know, it's like we just keep it. I'm fine with that because everybody kind of understood the rules. But now the way that this is right now is you swing at somebody. That's it. It's not a matter of which one's better. I like the other way better.
It's not even you swing at somebody. You do. There are many, many calls that you'd be like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. And it's like, nope, we're not taking a chance here. That's a flagrant two. You're out, or you're getting fined 25 grand or whatever the case is.
The other part I don't get, Slee, is we all know it. The second you see it, like it's one of the – maybe you have to look at it once on replay, but
yeah.
The second Jokic took that swing, you're like, yeah, he's gone. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one. And there we go. The Zapruder filming. Well, where's the guy on the grassy knoll? Where's the clock tower? Where's all these? Like, what's going on?
He tried
to break his neck.
I'm waiting to see the screen one times with the refs, and they're watching a trailer to Fast and Furious 9. Like they're done with the replay. Replay's done. Secaucus is trying to figure out the rest. Now they're just watching a part of a movie. There's times it feels like I'm serious, Trav. There's times where I'm like, how does it take you 4 minutes to determine if that was Alf on Schroeder or if that was on Chris Ball? Everything's just make a call.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, I'm so excited to do Ask Slee, that I have I kind of want to hit you with one right now. You ready?
Yeah.
It is from our pal Drew in West L.A. It says, does Allen have to run alongside the baggage carousel to catch up to his luggage? I assume what he's asking is, you know, because, you know, we all stand at the airport. Yep. We're waiting there for our bag to come off. You're just waiting.
I don't need a setup here. I got it.
Okay, hit me.
That's mine, guys. That's mine. But excuse me.
I don't think that's what he's asking. I think, let's say you can't get through the crush of people and it goes by you. Do you chase after it or do you wait for it to come all the way back
around? That's what I'm saying. No, that's mine. Excuse me, guys. Excuse me. That's the blue one. That blue one's mine.
Hey, can you grab that for me? Are you that guy? Hey, that blue one right there. Pull that. That's the boss move. Hey, no. Hey, pal, buddy, that one right there with the yellow ribbon. Pull that. That's me.
My favorite is when you help somebody, when it's like, you know, whatever it is, like the thing weighs more than she does or something, right? And she's trying to grab it. And then you go in there and you help and you take it off. She goes, oh, that one's not mine. Excuse me?
What am I supposed to put it back on?
My left vertebrae is just needs to be realigned, and this one's not yours.
All right.
By the way, can I read this tweet real quick?
Yeah,
it's amazing, some of these NBA coaches. Woj just put out a tweet. Brooklyn Nets assistant Mike D'Antoni is interviewing for the Portland Trailblazers coaching job today, sources tell ESPN. Two more assistant coaches, Clippers Chauncey Billup and Spurs Becky Hammon, are set to interview with Portland early this week too. Is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The recycling of the same freaking coaches grabbing $4-5 million a year, whatever the case is, unbelievable in the NBA.
I mean, imagine being a Portland Trailblazer fan or Damian Lillard, and you're like, this is the answer to my problems? That I'm getting Mike D'Antoni, like, Lillard might average 40 a game in that offense. It'd be fun to watch, but it's like, really? This is what we're going to do?
But, Trav, this is, you know, I go back to this. God bless Damian Lillard. God bless his loyalty. The dude's hurting himself. And what I'm referring to there is, you got to put pressure on these organizations. You just got to put pressure on these organizations. If Damian Lillard says, if you hire Mike D'Antoni and I don't want him, the Blazers won't hire him. You know, he's got that much control and that much pull. So whenever I hear people say, you know, well, Dame's been there and he's been loyal, he's been that, you got to flex your power. And if you don't do it as a player, organizations may take advantage of it. Portland's done nothing different for the last 4 years. Nothing. I could tell you every year what's going to happen with the Blazers over the last 4 or 5 years. If Mike D'Antoni ends up there, God bless America, that guy can just go out and get another probably $15 million gig.
Hey, good for him. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. So, Slee, I know you saw this. I saw this. A handful of people sent this story to me over the weekend. It comes from Cape Cod. A lobsterman, a guy by the name of Michael Packard, was diving off the coast of Provincetown, Mass. On Friday when a humpback whale swallowed him. The thing went and swallowed the dude. Here's a quote. This is from Mr. Packard. "I got down to about 45 feet of water, and all of a sudden, I just felt this huge bump, and everything went dark. And I could sense that I was moving, and I was like, oh, my God, did I just get bit by a shark? Then I felt around and realized there was no teeth, and I'd felt really no great pain. And then I realized I'm in a whale's mouth. I'm in a whale's mouth, and he's trying to swallow me. Welcome to the worst nightmare of your life actually happening to you, swallowed by a whale." What's the first thing you think of when you think of that?
Well, let me say this. First of all, if I'm going down, I don't want to know what's happening, okay? I don't want to have
time. I just want it to be over.
I don't want to have time to think about it, all right? So he's probably sitting in there with, like, plenty of time to kind of – you know what the worst is? You ever see snakes when they eat? Right, when they eat, and
they swallow it whole. That big lump in the middle of their bodies. It's disgusting.
But they're like, there's some of these you just, the animal's still alive, right? It's like, nobody wants to be in that predicament or situation. I did read this. Unfortunately, the more that you read into this story, it says that, let me see here, it says their throats are too narrow, however, to swallow human, experts have said. I don't want to know that. Let me just enjoy the story on my own. Don't start giving me facts about he can't actually be swallowed or any of that stuff.
Let me just put this out there. Have you ever tried to eat something that maybe you took too big of a bite of? I have, right? And you kind of, guess what ultimately happens?
Twice a week.
I get it down. I swallow it. It ends up in my gullet, right? So let's say you got a big meatball sandwich, right?
Okay, and it's like, but don't. Don't explain this as if you're a motivational speaker. People think I can't do it, but I found a way to do it. You're not a trainer here.
You get that big bite, and like, look, the proper bite of a meatball sandwich is like one meatball or maybe a half a meatball, right? That's the proper bite.
Probably half a meatball.
Half a meatball. But let's say the first meatball is like in a weird position, and the second meatball is adjacent to the first meatball, and you get a little of that second meatball with that first. That's a hard bite to get down. That's the equivalent of Mr. Packer in the humpback. He had that whale really wanted to, he could have muscled through and swallowed that guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, what's the first thing I think of?
Yes. That story, what did you think? Because I had something very, just boom, pop right into my head.
What went through your mind?
Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. Right? We've all seen Pinocchio. We've all know the story of he's out there and the whale swallows him. And they have to light a fire in the whale's belly and the smoke comes out. We know the story, right? We've all been to Disneyland and gotten that little boat that slides into the whale's mouth. We've all done that, right? So it's like, wait, hold on a second. Some of these Disney movies have some really, really tough ways to check out. Swallowed by whale. You mentioned the one that traumatized you when you were 9 years old.
Mufasa. How in Lion King? How has this happened in Lion King? By the way, what year was Lion King? I'm curious.
I'm going to guess 1997. I'm going to look it up right now.
King. Okay, so I was much older, so I shouldn't be. 94.
Oh, 94, okay.
I'm 11 years old, okay?
Still pretty young.
I'm 11 years old. I'm just, you know, watching one of the classics, right? How popular was it? It's still popular today, right?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, the way Mufasa goes, I'm like, what is this, a horror movie? What am I watching here?
You don't think that a good way to go would be hanging by your fingertips off of a cliff with your brother holding onto you by one hand and then deciding, you know what, now I'm good. I'm going to pitch you over the side so you can get trampled by a stampede of wildebeests. That's not a good way to go?
I remember looking around the room when I was watching, and I'm like, what are we watching here? You got any parents in the room here? Somebody want to run the Sliwa household?
While your kid's watching. That's the other part. Poor little Simba had to watch it all go down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Simba's watching. Yeah, that is – God bless that movie. Awesome movie, but I'm with you on that one. That's that one's a little tough of a script. All right, what did you have?
You kind of go through this. The one that – this goes back – I think this movie's made in the 30s. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to walk into a group of trees for the rest of my life for fear that that old witch with the basket of apples was going to come out and say, and hand you one of those, hello, little boy, make you eat one of those apples, and then good night, and you're living with little dwarves. I don't want to do that.
That's not a good setup. And that almost, and this all going back to this dude almost being swallowed by a whale.
Could happen.
It's coming from, these are coming from Disney nightmare stories here.
You don't think there's some weird guy in the wood with apples? He's out there. She's out there. I watch the news. I know what's going on out there.
You don't think there's some real Disney. That's a good way to put
it. Here's another one. Remember Finding Nemo, right? The very beginning when they've laid the eggs in the reef and the anemone and all, it's beautiful and it's nice, and Coral and Marlin are joking around with each other, and then all of a sudden, here comes the barracuda. Right here. There he is. Bam! And then the next scene is, oh yeah, she's dead. Consumed by barracuda. That'd be a bad way to go.
Like,
movies
we're supposed
are
to
pretty
just,
rough.
Like, we're supposed to just accept it. Like, no problem. Just turn the page. Let's keep going on the movie.
Mom's gone. Yeah.
There's believe it or not, there's an article out there, 15 saddest Disney deaths ranked.
And this is not the only, you know, magazine or whatever or website to do this. There's like multiple websites that did this, you know, the most gruesome deaths in Disney history.
I don't need any of those.
You know what? Do you know which one was? I'm trying to think here. Remember Land Before Time?
Yeah, the dinosaur. Sure.
Okay. So, this was a couple years ago. We rented up in Big Bear, and I'm up there with my nieces, and it's on. Okay, and I have one. I have two of my nieces with me, and we're watching the movie, and it's just kind of like the beginning of the movie. My older niece, who's like 9 years old, walks in, and she goes, oh, this movie scared me so much when I was a little kid. And then the two little girls take her, you know, motions like, I want my mommy. They both wanted to have that. There's certain movies as a kid you gotta be careful with.
Tragedy, right? That's the way that it goes. There's creates story and all these other things. And most importantly, Slee, it's gotten us to my favorite segment of the entire day, the entire show. It is Ask Slee. It is coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Are you ready, Slee?
Let's do a trap. Let's make it happen here.
This could be interesting because we'll just jump right in. This is from Dave, and Dave writes, Slee, are you more of a Copenhagen guy or a Skol guy?
Copenhagen.
Yeah, see, this is where I thought this might go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a preference on either one of the two there.
Have you ever tried either or both?
No.
Never once?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Is that the baseball world?
It's the gross world, yeah. So baseball certainly falls into the smaller circle of the gross. There's nothing more disgusting on the face of the earth than a baseball dugout, of what's on the ground of a baseball dugout. It's just disgusting. And, yes, Skol and Copenhagen are both
okay,
on
about how about you? Have you
tried both. They are both awful and
is it
terrible.
Mandatory in baseball? Like, is it mandatory? I mean, you're
so
not
I got,
just
I got
a,
pretty
you,
lucky.
You are a college pitcher here.
I got pretty lucky that my high school coach forbid it. It was not an option. You couldn't do it. So by the time I got to college, I kind of was through the point of never wanting to get in on it. But I did try it. It made me sick, and I was out. I'm that guy. One time, see you later.
There are definitely the people that just casually have it. Just casually, and just have a cup next to them and just are spitting into it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like just random people anywhere. I mean, you'd be driving around, look to the side. Somebody's just spitting into a cup, whatever the case is.
Hashtag Ask Slee. This one comes from at Travis Rogers, and he writes, if you had to live with somebody that smoked or chewed, which would you choose? Hashtag Ask Slee. Because they leave those cups all over. Because I've lived with dip.
I think I got
it's
it.
Pretty nasty.
I think I got it. I think smoke.
You'd rather live with a smoker?
I think so. Because there's actually going to be some rules. I got to go outside and actually smoke outside. It's not like anybody's going to smoke inside. So at least you got a little separation there.
Right.
What are they smoking?
What are they smoking? I guess is a pretty good question as well. All right. This is from Francis, and he writes, is the Clippers being down 2-1 to Utah actually a good thing? Because it'll be impossible for them to blow a 3-1 lead again. Hashtag Ask Slee.
I just want to see Conley get healthy. That's it. Trav, even if they lose tonight, if Jazz lost tonight and it's 2-2, but Conley and Donovan Mitchell are both ready to go for those final three games, still think Utah will win the series. But, man, it would be disappointing. So, to answer his question, yes, they won't blow a 3-1 lead. They got a legitimate chance to make it to the NBA Finals, Trav. Think about that. They really do.
They
got Phoenix
they
left.
I still am going to need to see them unclipper it. I'm going to need to see it one time before I start to believe. I know that they can and
okay.
might, but
okay, so
I need
let
to
me,
see it.
Let me ask you this. They win tonight?
I think they win the series if they win tonight, the Clippers.
Okay, do they win tonight?
Yeah, I think they do.
So then you think they win the series?
Yeah.
Who do you like between Phoenix and the Clippers?
I want to say the Clippers, but again, I'll say it again. I'm going to need to see it from them before I buy. The Clippers could be up by 10 points with 4 seconds to go in Game 7, and I'd still be thinking, you know, it's the Clippers.
Yeah.
I still have that trauma in my history, having seen it too many times. I can't forget it happened.
I don't think it's trauma. I think it's amazing, amazing history. Amazing history.
All right, here's the next one. This is from Ryan. My kids want to go to Disneyland next week. I'm trying to negotiate knots. What would Slee do? Hashtag ask Slee.
I'm awful at the Disneyland thing. Awful. I cannot.
How can you be awful at the Disneyland thing? It's Disneyland. Who doesn't love it?
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Too many people. This was pre-COVID, too. Just too many people. It's hot as hell. You know, try walking around. It's noon in July, and
sure.
you're trying to get around.
You get a big hat.
It's the worst.
You get a corn dog. You have a big water. It's wonderful.
It's arguably the worst thing. Kids running everywhere. I'm like, where are the parents? It's a complete chaos zoo here. Now, I probably should not be promoting people not to go to Disneyland.
They're going to be okay. I think people are going to go anyway. I think they got a pretty good business model.
Yeah, okay. Then there's the other people that go, they get the annual pass.
Yeah.
They're going, and I get it. I don't have kids, so it's different, right? But they're going at least twice a month. You know, they are using that annual pass like no tomorrow. They're there all the time. So if I'm this dude, I continue to negotiate to not go.
I'm looking forward to you and little Slee Jr. when he or she shows up, taking him to Disneyland, and you having a totally – because it's awesome.
I'll have a meltdown. Now I'm gonna have a meltdown. I already know I'm going to have a meltdown.
Well,
it will be,
of course you are.
It will be 10:07. Like, we had just been in the park for 48 minutes, and I'm already having a meltdown.
Yeah, we'll go home. I'll turn this scooter around, and we'll go home right
where
here,
park?
Where
right
now.
Park? Nobody remembers where we parked?
Ooh, this is a good one. This is from John in Huntington Beach. Top three basketball movies, Air Bud is not eligible. Hit me with your three favorite basketball movies, Slee.
All right. Hoosiers is on there.
Sure. We're going to run the picket fence at him.
Overrated.
Don't get caught
watching
the paint dry.
Hoosiers is good.
I like Ollie with his little crew cut, and he shoots free throws underhand. I like that kid.
Blue Chip was a good one.
Blue Chips?
I think here. Or Blue Chips was a good
one.
What's the one? How come I'm forgetting with Denzel and
he
Ray
got
Allen.
Game.
He got game. That's another good one. What am I missing here? What are some other
Funch, classics? You
want to
help him out with some other ones here?
What are some other classics?
Space Jam?
White Men Can't Jump?
No. I'm not a
– White Men Can't Jump.
White Men Can't Jump is a good one.
Oh, yeah, no. White Men's got to be in there. Yeah, that one's – yeah.
So what are you kicking out? Are you kicking Hoosiers out? Are you kicking Blue Chips out? Or are you kicking He Got Game out?
I'll kick Blue Chips out. Blue Chips got to go. Blue Chips for White Men Can't Jump.
I love when Blue Chips came out. It's like, oh, my – you know, this stuff isn't really going on. Is it really going on? It's like a documentary. It was. This is exactly what goes on.
It was like
on.
Live footage.
you need a new tractor, but Jimmy can make threes. The tractor will be in your driveway tomorrow morning. That's how that works.
And then the guy asked for $20,000 in cash in a bag, and it showed up in front of his house. Whatever. That was great.
Travis, when he was negotiating with ESPN and Disney, asked for all his money to be under the table, and he said it was for tax purposes.
He wanted $10,000 in a McDonald's bag.
Yeah, he said, for tax purposes, if we could just put this under the table.
All right, this is a new name here. This is Ed Tom Bell. Thank you for checking in here, Ed Tom Bell. Would Slee box an orangutan? Hashtag ask Slee. You getting in there? You lacing them up in old Clydes over on the other side?
Absolutely not. See the power of those things? Are you kidding me?
They do have a reach advantage. They have pretty long arms. They could probably do some work if they want.
What was this guy's name?
Ed Tom Bell.
All right. Ed, if you heard on Friday, you and I were talking about how we roll with peacekeepers. right? That we're not rolling with a guy at a bar that's just like looking for a fight or an issue. So the fact that I'm going into a ring with anybody, that ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be real super anxious to box an orangutan. That sounds like a bad idea.
You know how freaking strong those things are? All of us. I mean, we are such, like, when it comes to just pure strength, we are not a strong, we obviously use our head. We're not using
chimp
our bodies.
Would bust you up. And they're the size of like a cat. They'll do work on
you. They
can
rip off your face, literally.
I wouldn't suggest it. All right, one more here. This goes to Ryan Vale. It's for one whole year, you're only allowed to eat food from one chain restaurant. Can be fast food or it could be sit down. Who you got? You have to eat all your meals at one place for a year. Where are you going?
It has to be. You said it has to be a chain?
No, it can be a chain restaurant like Morton's or something like that, or you could go fast food. You could pick Taco Bell if you pick whatever, but it can't be like your local coffee shop down the street. Chain.
That's a good question. Okay, I'm gonna make it a sandwich spot. I gotta just do sandwiches, kind of make it easy here.
You gonna be eating Jimmy John's or Subway for a whole year?
I'll go Jersey Mike's.
That's a good choice.
Mike's.
You're gonna get it Mike's way, and you're just going to eat nothing but Italian subs for 365 days?
Be 6 days in. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to do Morton's and have a steak
that's
every
not a good,
three times
no, you're
a
not,
day?
You're not thinking this through. The answer is fairly obvious. There are options on this.
I can't eat hamburger. Can't do In-N-Out 365 days a year.
Nope. That's not it either.
I
you
could
need variety.
Do probably a rice and chicken bowl every day.
What about like Cheesecake Factory?
Warmer, but then you'd probably weigh 980 pounds at the end of the year. Cheesecake Factory serves their food on like a boogie board. They're the biggest portions in the history of the world. So that's probably not something you need
you
to
guys
do.
Got a bigger. You guys have a bigger slice, just the cake. Because of a bigger slice?
The answer is like a Denny's or an IHOP. Because you can get a little bit. You can have breakfast. They have salads if you want to go clean. You can have a burger occasionally. You need something that can hit you all three ways.
Get out of here.
You're going to eat an Italian sub three times a day for the next year as opposed to, you know what, today, I'll take that Grand Slam. And then later that night,
you remind,
turkey sandwich sounds good.
Can you remind Travis? It's Astley. Can you remind him?
Well, you're getting the wrong answers. I want
to getting
help
who the star of the show is.
You wanted to go to Jersey Mike's for
a year. I'm already full 3 days into Jersey Mike's. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't like your answer. That doesn't help me out at all. All right. The Dodgers have a problem. It's not the problem that we thought they did. That one, believe it or not, has been fixed, but they have a problem that they need to address. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.